creation. O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man, who is bewildered from the path of transcendence, fall away from both spiritual and material success, and perish like a riven cloud, with no position in any sphere? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Prabhupada. There are two ways to progress. Those who are materialists have no interest in transcendence. Therefore, they are more interested in material advancement by economic development, or in promotion to the higher planets by appropriate work. When one takes to the path of transcendence, one has to cease all material activities and sacrifice all forms of so-called material happiness. If the aspiring transcendentalist fails, then he apparently loses both ways. In other words, he can enjoy neither material happiness nor spiritual success. He has no position. He is like a riven cloud. A cloud in the sky sometimes deviates from a small cloud and joins a big one. But if it cannot join a big one, then it is blown away by the wind and becomes a non-entity in the vast sky. The Brahmanapati is the path of transcendental realization through knowing oneself to be spiritual in essence, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, manifested as Paramatma, and Krishna is the manifestation of the Supreme, and therefore who is surrendered to the Supreme is a successful transcendental. To reach this goal of life through Brahman and Paramatma realization takes many, many births. Bahunam Janmanamante. Therefore, the supermost path of transcendental realization is Bhakti Yoga, or Krishna consciousness, the direct method. Arjuna has asked a question person who takes up yoga practice, but or transcendental activity, and renounces the material world. But let's say the person, he's not able to complete it. He doesn't achieve perfection. So what happens to him? This is a good question. It's like if you buy a car on a lease, ask the question, what happens if I can't pay the full, my payments all the way to the end? Right? Ramayana, you should ask this question. And what will they tell you? They'll tell you, well, we just take back the car. And you say, but what if I put in 3 years worth of payments? I paid maybe $8,000, and what if I only had $2,000 to go? And they say, well, we take back the car. Well, don't I get anything for the $8,000? No. So it's good to know that before you sign the lease program. Otherwise, you may be disappointed when you find out that you have no car and you have no money. Your investment is gone. So Arjuna's very wise, he's asking the question ahead of time. If I start this and I begin, and what if I don't complete it? What if I die prematurely? What if I'm just too slow? I don't make it. What happens to me then? So Krishna's answering that question. And this is a very nice answer. He says, well, Arjuna's still finishing his question. Is he not like a Is such a person, doesn't he lose both ways? He loses spiritually because he couldn't complete it, and doesn't he lose materially also because he gave up all of his material opportunities? It's like sometimes they say, when they see the young men and women taking to Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, you're giving up your most important years. These are the years you could really be enjoying yourself, and now you're giving up all that enjoyment for living an austere life, getting up early, renunciation. Huh? They say that. Parents especially say that.
Here's a question.
remember in Amsterdam where I joined, I was talking to my father, and he was rather disturbed about me being as a brahmachari in the temple. And he warned me. He said, now everything's rosy, you're able to perform well and do everything enthusiastically, but what are you going to do when you're 50 and older, what's going to happen to you then? Nobody's going to care for you then. Right? But I remember thinking at that time, internally I was just smiling, and because somehow by taking shelter of God, I came to know as Krishna, I saw how I was able to overcome all kinds of overwhelming difficulties. And so I just had faith that when time came, that same program would continue.
Okay, so now Krishna is going to answer this question. The question is, what happens if he doesn't make it all the way? Is he eternally, just like I was hearing, I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Yeah. Greg. Greg? Was asking, so if we don't make it, I started that and then I die. Am I damned forever? Well, Krishna is going to answer that question in just a few verses here. All right, let's read the next verse.
Text 39, translation. This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt.
So only God or Krishna can answer this question definitively. What happens? Because others may speculate. Some may say, I think this, I think that, I think he goes here, I think he died, I think he goes to hell. But only Krishna, God, can give this perfect answer, which cannot be, which is beyond speculation. He knows. Others may speculate. We may give our theories. But God knows because He's in control of everything. And He knows everything. Next verse.
Text 40, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil.
Oh, this is wonderful news. That if one begins the path of transcendence, even if he doesn't complete it in one life, he begins where he left off in the next life. It's like a spiritual bank account. If we put money in the bank, if we're putting money in the bank, it's building up our balance. And even if I don't put some in, if I stop for some time, when I resume again, say after, let's say I lose my job and I can't put any money in. Okay. So after some while I begin again putting money, I don't start over, I begin where I left off. The balance that I have in there is always there, waiting for me.
We learn, like you're saying, our spiritual bank account never vanquishes as does our material bank account. Now, we know that, like, it's been stated in previous lectures that, sons of devotees or daughters of devotees can be totally in Maya, and even though they get that birth, they must be fallen yogis, but they take birth in a family of devotees.
It's slower, so we can all understand.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. We know that sons and daughters of devotees who are born in those families of devotees must have previously been fallen yogis for them to take such a great birth. But we see that some of them are very prone to fall into complete Maya, and such that they just, they may just totally drift away and never come to the temple again, or try to sue ISKCON, or in another situation, one came to the temple and lived in the temple for a few years and was full time and initiated and believed at everything. Then they went back to Mayavas drinking alcohol and just doing all nonsense and died not thinking of God at all. So what I'm trying to say is, it appears that the spiritual bank account does vanquish because because they can go lifetimes and lifetimes of just being, they can fall back into the material pool again, even if they made some spiritual advancement, because they may just be on the Maya.
I can give you an example. Yes, I can give you an example. One of my godbrothers, from the same era as myself, he joined, but then he slipped away. Went back into the material world for many years. And I hadn't seen him for a long time, and suddenly he showed up again. And, you know, he looked pretty bedraggled, to say the least. And I said, what happened to you? And he said, oh boy, you don't want to hear. And he went, you know, he just kind of summarized all the different things that had happened to him, which were, you know, pretty horrific. But he got right back into devotional service, and it was clear that he resumed right where he left off. It's not that he lost the knowledge he had. It's not that he lost the credit for the devotion he had, nor the techniques, all the things he had, the enthusiasm. It all began again right from that point where he left off. He didn't have to start over again like he didn't know anything. Like he didn't know Krishna or he didn't love Krishna. No. His love and his devotion continued right from where he left off. And that's happened to many devotees. So, if we wait, that's our long-term services now is still there. If we again, right opportunity, we'll, and if we're 51%, then we start at 52%. And if we can complete it in this lifetime, what does completing it mean? It means to develop pure love of God. Complete detachment from the material world and attachment to the spiritual. That's the perfection.
So, two-part question, really quick. Is it not possible for a devotee to fall into total complete Maya in such a way that he has to go to hell with a spirit, with somewhat of a spiritual bank account, go to hell and then have to reincarnate through different animals? Is that not possible because he doesn't lose his spiritual bank account, or that can happen to a devotee? Because we saw that Judd Barrett or someone became a deer, so he was some kind of advanced devotee, I think. So, and also,
Answer that question first. So generally, we don't see devotees having to go down to that level. Even if they fall down, their falling down is a kind of more of a temporary situation. And they may be given some rectification. But it's not like the example is given that if a father chastises his son for doing something wrong, it's not the same way he chastises a hardened criminal. He knows there's a difference. So one who takes up devotional service, it means he's joining Krishna's party. He's saying, I want to serve Krishna. To love Krishna. Now, due to circumstances, due to his past bad habits, he may slip away. But in his heart, he wants Krishna. That he's determined. But due to Maya, the influence of the material energy, he may have slipped for some time. So Krishna will make some arrangement. And that will be discussed in the next verses. Okay? So, yes.
I'm thinking of different certain cases where you said someone maintains the desire that they have Krishna and the desire to attain Krishna, but they become sidetracked. But what about when they become directly against the Lord's service and the devotees? And they
It's superficial in a sense. There's examples of Shishupal. For example, Shishupal, he was always criticizing Krishna, but he couldn't forget Krishna. He was always saying, Krishna is bad, Krishna is worse, he's terrible, he's a crow, he's a coward, he's duplicitous, he's lusty. He came up with 1,000 different criticisms of Krishna. But he couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. So ultimately, he received liberation. And he was purified by thinking of Krishna. If one thinks of Krishna, Krishna is so pure that even if one thinks of Krishna in a negative way, he gets purified. He's so pure. So if you think of Krishna even in a negative way, you'll get benefit.
So in the fifth canto, descriptions of the hellish planets, what refers to a Brahmin going to hell for drinking liquor, that would not refer to a Vaishnava Brahmin,
yeah.
It would refer to just a regular Brahmin.
Yes. Yes, but of course, a Vaishnava, he shouldn't be drinking liquor. He should understand that this is not pleasing to Krishna. It's not beneficial. And he has the determination to give up bad habits. We all have, in this material world, we've picked up bad habits. But by good association, it's possible to overcome the bad habits.
Bhajamil made a special Yamadutas king. He's a very devoted
Brahmin.
Was he Vaishnava?
Not quite a Vaishnava.
But he had Narayan on his mercy.
So he must have been
a Vaishnava.
In India, so many people are named Narayan.
But Maharaj, he must have been, because he got the mercy because Narayan or Vishnu made the arrangement for him.
He got the mercy because he chanted the name Narayan. Because he chanted the name of Narayan.
As a Brahmana.
As anything. It doesn't matter whether one is a Brahmana or Shudra. If he chants the name of the Lord, without offense, he gets the mercy of the Lord. It's for everyone. Krishna is absolute. So, he was a Brahmana, and he fell down. And yes, the Yamadutas were coming. But because he chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayan. He named his son Narayan. And he chanted the name of Narayan, which is a name for God. And therefore, because of that, he was protected. He didn't have to see hell.
What about persons who take devotional service and then they don't chant the name of Narayan, which it actually Prabhupada says don't count on it. That's very rare thing for someone who falls away and is developing.
Well, they fall into this category that we're discussing. We're going to be reading about in the next verse, next two verses. Okay? Let's continue because the answer is coming from Krishna. Text 42. Did we read that one yet? Actually, we're on text 41. Okay, skip 41, go to 42. Skip 41 and go to 42. Translation. Or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. Now go back to 41. Translation. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of a rich aristocracy.
Well, these two verses answer the question. If he's not so advanced, he's performed a little yoga, and he dies without being perfect in his yoga, then he goes to the heavenly planets. He's promoted to the heavenly planets. And then after that, he's born into a family of Brahmanas or rich aristocracy. So you see, that devotional service, that yoga that he practiced, is so valuable that even though he slipped, he's still elevated. He's still got so much in his account that he gets the opportunity to go to the heavenly planets.
Here's an interesting question I never thought about. Say, you know, our maximum duration of life is pretty much 100 years in Kali Yuga, at least at this point. What would be considered a long-term devotional service in numbers of years or short-term? Like, for instance, I know a devotee who did like about 9 or 10 years and then he went to total maya and still believes in Krishna but just doesn't do anything to, you know.
Not necessarily.
So, is that a lot of devotional service or
not necessarily the number of years. It's the level that he attains. One of my godbrothers got initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1972 and soon afterwards was killed in a car accident. So we wrote to Prabhupada and said, you know, we told him what happened. We asked, so what happened? And Prabhupada said, it is a promotion from Krishna. He will take his next birth in a very good devotee's family. That's the second verse. See, the second one says, if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists. So that means that this person took initiation. That was considered long practice. Because he didn't have to go to the heavenly planets. He didn't have to come back and take his birth in a Brahmin family. Prabhupada said he will take his birth in a very good devotee's family. He had made initiation, effort. That's another point. He didn't fall down. He didn't actually fall into maya or sinful activity. So there may be some other considerations there.
One more quick question. And then here it says, born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. So taking into account this into a family of righteous people, is that, we're talking about the Vedic sphere of different cultures, or someone could be considered righteous in a family of like Christians or Muslims or something?
The verse says Shuchinam. Shuchinam means the righteous. Those are the Brahmanas. And Srimatam means the rich aristocracy. So one of those two families, they're both considered a pious birth. To be born in a family of Brahmanas or very pious religious persons, that is a fortunate birth. Or to be born in a very wealthy aristocratic family, that is also a fortunate birth.
Mostly people who are rich these days on the planet are generally engaged in all the four sinful activities.
And that's not to be born in that family. Of course, there's some piety to be born in a family of wealth. But it's not the most pious. It would be more pious to be born in a wealthy family that is not engaged in those activities.
That's also very rare.
It's rare, of course. That's what Krishna says. Such a birth. Look what he says in text 42. Certainly such a birth.
No, but I'm talking about the other verse now where he's
No, this is the one.
Rich aristocracy.
That's also rare. But even more rare than the rich aristocracy is to be born in a family of transcendentalists.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like it says, family, does rich aristocracy mean persons who are following Vedic standards?
Yes, yes.
Who are wealthy?
Yes. Srimatam. Not just a person who has wealth but has no culture. That's not a good...
Like the family, would you say, I mean, they have, like the family we went to today, would you say, like something like that?
That's not rich.
I mean, well...
That's middle class.
Compared to where the people
no,
in Bangladesh...
No, like in India, the Mafatlal family. To be born in the Mafatlal family, or the Birla family, or these are rich... Or to be born in a family of Brijbasis, huh? Or to be born in Brahmin family down in South India. These are pious births.
here's one. Let him.
It's just a comment, and maybe if you could comment, please, to verify or not. If the person in today's age falls and after a short period of practice, then he goes to a heavenly planet, there's, let's say, 10,000 years, the Kali Yuga, the 10,000 grace period in Kali Yuga is finished, and parents are perhaps eating their own children to stay alive, it might not be so, well, they're coming back into, I guess, a decent family, but still, I think it gives us still great impetus to finish as opposed to go to a heavenly planet, especially in the age that we're in now. Is that, would you say?
Yes. One may go and live there for a long time, heavenly planets, but then one has to come back down again afterwards, yes, when his pious credits are used up. And he takes birth, but he gets another good opportunity to take birth in a pious family. So, of course, this is not the only place to take birth. This is only one universe. There are millions of universes, and the souls, they can be transported very quickly. Other planets within the universe or even outside the universe, souls can travel very quickly. Continue? So what's happened now? The answer is, if one takes devotional service, transcendental life, he gives up his material life, but then he doesn't complete it. Now, but Arjuna is specifically asking him, he doesn't complete it. So what does that mean? He doesn't complete it. It means he held on to some material attachments. It doesn't necessarily indicate that he became ensnared in horrible activities, necessarily, but at least it was sufficient, his material attachment to the spiritual world. To attachment, friendship, race car, something. He hasn't given up his attachment to this world. So he has to come back and still enjoy that. Because we're always thinking about what we like to enjoy. Oh, if I had some beautiful women to enjoy. Just like sometimes we hear that there are, that certain religious organizations, they train their people that if you go and perform this act and kill this group, kill these people, you'll go to paradise, to heaven, and enjoy with so many beautiful. So, some may think this is a very nice plan, but that's still a material desire. He's thinking, I'll enjoy my senses in heaven. But devotion, pure devotion, is a different thing. The devotee doesn't think, I'll enjoy my senses. I will be the enjoyer. He thinks, I will be the servant eternally. That's the difference. It's a big difference. I will be God's servant. Or not only God's servant, but I'll be the servant of God. It's a big difference between thinking, I'll be the enjoyer and everything will be for my pleasure. Instead, you're thinking, I will be the servant and I will do everything for the pleasure of God. Isn't it a different thing? It's a big difference. That's what Krishna is teaching. As long as you want to be the enjoyer, okay, I'll give you that, but that's not the best thing. You can have it. What does it say? It's more difficult for a wealthy person to enter into heaven than to put a camel through the eye of a needle. In other words, when one becomes wealthy and thinks he's the enjoyer, he forgets God. Therefore, he can't go back. He doesn't want to go back. If you go to the wealthy persons and say, would you like to go back to Godhead? They say, why should I go back to Godhead? Look what I've got here. I've got everything. Look, I'm famous. I have money. That's why when you try, if any of you ever have experience, if you go down to the beach, it's a difficult place to preach. Because people are really in the mode of enjoying their bodies. They're really in bodily consciousness. It's difficult to preach to them about you're not the body. Because they think they are the body. They're trying to enjoy the bodies. But if you go to hospital, very easy to preach there. Everyone likes to hear what you have to say at a hospital. You go there, you go from bed to bed. You'll have no shortage of ears listening to what you have to say because they're suffering.
Well, there's 2 points here. One is about the Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Bombay, which has doctors who are Krishna conscious, and it's practically a temple for the patients when they become inmates there. So this was a brilliant example of what you were just saying. And then also this idea of a rich aristocracy and the dangers for making little progress seems like you could end up in that situation in like Nala Kuvera, you know, you can end up in a pious and then go down like so many people born in Brahminical families we see, you know, and then they become, you know, give up completely, you know, born in India. Yeah. So many people born in Brahmin.
Therefore, the real important thing is not the birth, not the wealth, not even the ordinary piety, but the real thing that is the saving grace is to associate with pure devotees. If you get association with a pure devotee, that will counteract everything. It doesn't matter what type of birth one has, whether it's higher or lower. It doesn't even matter what one has done previously in this life or in previous lives. It all gets cleared off when he gets the association of the pure devotees. And he says, Krishna, Hare Rama Rama, service. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. Okay, continue. Next verse. Krishna is further explaining now what happens. 43. Translation. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. We see the people born in India have a special advantage because they fit this category. They have performed yoga in the past. Now they've taken birth in pious families and they take to it very easily. So there's an advantage to be born. They're also raised in a culture of brahmachari celibacy, and they don't eat meat, they don't gamble, they don't have illicit sex. Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.